That's how it felt. This answer to Skylar's mystery. The meeting didn't take long. Dr. Ment gave us the diagnosis and explained how rare this disorder was. It had taken them 3 weeks to figure out what Skylar had, she said, and even then only with the help of a geneticist in Chicago who was the leading researcher in this field. She explained how there were only a very few diagnosed cases of it, fewer than 100 in the entire world. Then she named it. The monster in Skylar's head had a name. We sat and we listened. As she explained what it all meant, I felt a hard thing in my stomach, almost as if I'd eaten bread dough, but harder. I felt all those secret hopes for my daughter's future slipping away from me. All the ambitions parents pretend not to have for their kids. Julie's face said the same. She was starting to cry. Skylar looked up at us, not understanding. I picked her up and played with her quietly, my face set in a smile for her. I listened to them and I played with her. I know when you get home, the first thing you're going to do is go online and look this up, Dr. Ment said. I just want you to be ready. It's going to be pretty rough. And it was. We left the office and stepped out into the late summer afternoon. Julie cried, and I walked ahead a short distance with Skylar. She spun and danced and laughed, pulling me along, frustrated at my slow pace and totally unaware that the world was a different place than it had been an hour before. Nothing had changed. Everything had changed. Part 1. A Monster Hiding. 1. Kalamazoo. Julie's pregnancy wasn't a huge surprise to us. I suppose it shouldn't have been a surprise at all. We'd been married a few months and we'd been discussing the future, one with fabulous new jobs in some exotic new location that was in no way Kalamazoo, and that future had kids in it too. Julie was young, in her early 20s, and I was starting over after a childless first marriage had sucked the life and the better part of a decade out of me. I'd left Texas after 29 years to be with Julie, and I was still adjusting to the upper Midwest. So many changes were afoot. Why not a baby, too? How hard could it be? With a merry chuckle and a total lack of any sort of intelligent consideration for the future, we began trying. It didn't take long. Kalamazoo, Michigan is our setting, a town located in the strangest place I'd ever experienced, the narrow strip of land running up the western side of the state about 30 miles inland from Lake Michigan. Here's the Mr. Science explanation. During the winter, which in Michigan lasts roughly 6 months, big fat clouds suck up moisture from Lake Michigan and then move to the east over the landmass of the state. About 30 miles in, the moisture starts to freeze and dumps snow on the poor, exposed earth below. This is called lake effect snow, and it is extreme. The first time I experienced it, I woke up one morning to discover that 32 inches of snow had fallen in the hours I had been sleeping, warm and ignorant, in my bed. 32 inches. I took pictures. My point about this little factoid is not, wow, it sure snows a lot in western Michigan, but rather that it tells you something about the people who lived there. Long ago, when fur trappers and Indians were the only humans who were trudging through this 32 inches of lake effect frostiness, settlers arrived, saw this meteorological weirdness, and said, Jebediah, by golly, we found our home. It wasn't just Kalamazoo, either. Grand Rapids, which is neither grand nor possessing rapids, falls under the lake's crazy spell, too. Michigan is a state founded by masochists, and probably not the fun kind, either. When I look back on our days in Kalamazoo, I find myself missing it more than I ever would have thought possible at the time. I'd had a rough start a few years before, the first time I tried to move to Michigan. The computer sales job I'd secured a few weeks before vanished before my eyes, followed shortly.